Does it seem like everyone's gone gluten-free? The trend is so big, you might think the lovely smell of fresh baked bread will disappear forever. Luckily for today's guest, people are still making dough, even from wheat. This is YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. I'm Kevin Daum, and each week I bring you insights from the world's top executives of YPO, all made possible with grants from Gazelle's Growth Institute, www.growthinstitute.com. YPO member Rahul Agarwal left Tanzania a young man to get a degree in finance and accounting from Drake University in Iowa. After a brief accounting stint for Dice, realizing the growth and opportunities in Africa, Rahul moved back to Tanzania in 2009 and joined the management team of his family business, Coast Millers Limited, which had been manufacturing wheat flour products for decades. Today, as the general manager, heading up operations and business development, Rahul has continued to grow the company to a capacity of roughly 300 metric tons per day. Coast Millers is now a major player in the import and export market of wheat flour, making waves of grain all over Tanzania. Rahul, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How did you end up running a miller?
It's a family business. So my dad started it when Tanzania became a free enterprise nation. He found a gap that could be bridged. So I'm second generation and I'm working together with my dad.
Were your parents born in Tanzania or they came over from India?
So my dad was born in Tanzania and my mom is born in India. But I'm actually fourth generation from my father's side. So the Indian community has actually been in Tanzania for a very long time.
How did they get there?
Some of them were brought in by the British. Some of them were looking for opportunity. If you look at Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, Rwanda, Burundi, Mozambique, there is actually a pretty sizable Indian community that has been there for many generations.
So the transformation you talk about is when they broke from colonial rule?
Yes.
So what excited you about the idea of coming in and running the business?
At the time, Africa is really booming. It's growing. It's developing very fast. I personally think Africa is the continent to be at. You know, they're innovating. But, you know, it is progressing. It is hungry for change. It is hungry for growth. The younger generation is aggressive in terms of trying to go against the historic norms. It's actually an exciting place to have a business. I think that's what excited me about coming back. And, you know, also just the opportunity and the honor and the privilege to be able to work with my dad. Of four children, I'm the only son. So it somehow was an obligation for me to come back then, sort of be able to give back to him for what he has done for me.
Did you come in with a strategy to change things?
Yeah, definitely. I did come in with a strategy for growth, for enhancing the turnover. I also definitely wanted to clean things up in terms of marketing and making our product more presentable in the market. So I did. I came with a lot of visions, I guess. Up till today, I'm still trying to execute them.
What do you find are your biggest challenges in taking it forward?
Well, firstly, in Tanzania, it's very difficult to get good talent.
For what kind of workers that you need?
You know, for technical staff like production managers or designers or CEOs or marketing managers, it's very difficult to find a good caliber local talent. Many times we have to hire outside, which turns out to be more expensive and more costly in terms of getting permits, and it becomes a difficult task, but you know, it's something that we have to do.
Have you put systems in place to help them grow?
We have put systems in to help them grow. In many cases, we even send some of them for training. So we are definitely embarking more on a journey to train our local staff and to try to get them to a standard where, you know, they're able to perform their skills.
Now, do you grow your own wheat or you strictly mill it?
We actually import the wheat from wheat producing nations around the world. At the moment, a lot of it is purchased from Russia, Ukraine, then Argentina, U.S., Canada, and Australia.
So you're right in the heart of a commodity business that's been around forever, one of the oldest businesses. So how do you stay competitive in an environment like that?
Keeping your quality consistent, keeping it up to high standards, and being able to sell it at an affordable, competitive cost. And not only that, it's about customization, like understanding what your customer wants. You know, customers are actually very particular about what they want. They want high-volume bread items. They want water absorption. They want whiteness. They want texture. So all of these things we actually need to look at in detail and be able to customize our product in order to be marketable to our customers.
Since you're in charge of a wheat manufacturer, how is the whole gluten-free trend impacting that industry?
Thankfully, in Tanzania, it's not a very common phenomena. It's mainly the upper middle class elitists that kind of follow these trends of vegan, gluten-free, and all of that trends. So thankfully, it hasn't impacted us that much, but you know, it will be something I think in the future that we'll have to look into.
Unless the trend passes.
Yeah, exactly.
You studied business in the U.S., right?
Yes, I did.
And so how did that help you in working within an emerging market? What do you see are the differences between the two?
It was completely different. I actually even worked in the U.S. for 1 year at an insurance company. I came back and it was a complete shock. Everything was different, like the way people talk to each other. You know, you have to continue to keep your guard up in a country like Tanzania because you never know when they're being honest or dishonest.
How do you know when they're being honest or dishonest?
I think in most cases, you need to just have very strong internal controls in place. I'll give you one example. There are many times where if you send somebody to go and purchase something, if something costs $5, you know, they would tell you that it costs $7 and they'd pocket the $2. So this happens a lot. So it's all about trying to reduce that. I think the biggest challenge I had coming back was with regulatory bodies. They would actually come to your factory and cause all kinds of chaos, always find a reason for why you're doing something wrong, and really give you a hard time and, you know, go to an extent where they would possibly even close you down or give you a big fine of however many thousands of dollars. I think that was a very difficult thing for me to adapt to.
You think those corruption aspects are getting better now?
No. I think Africa has a long way to go in terms of overcoming corruption. It's still going to take some time.
It does create a fair amount of uncertainty the way that you run your business.
Yes, most definitely.
But I would imagine the long relationships that your family has, having done business there, that also helps to counterbalance the challenges. I would imagine a new company coming in that probably keeps the competition away.
We are at an advantage where we have been in the business a long time, so we're able to navigate through some of these challenges. We're able to find solutions to some of the problems. It is difficult, but I guess we have to continue to stay alert.
How do you grow and develop yourself as a leader? If you were to, you don't have a brother who's going to come in and take over for you someday.
Right,
you
exactly.
Might have a son
at
some point that is.
Sure.
What would be the advice that you would have for them that takes over a multi-generational family business?
I would say continue to learn because the world is changing so much. In terms of technology, in terms of what else is out there, I would say to really explore, to find different ways of doing things, more efficient ways of doing things, and to not limit yourself to what you already have.
Okay, rapid fire questions.
Yeah.
What is your favorite question to ask when you meet someone new?
I like to ask them about their family because I feel that's a good connection point.
Name three of your personal core values.
Working hard, enjoying what life has to offer, and to be kind to one another.
Who has had the greatest impact on you as a leader?
My father. I think it's the value of working hard and to be persistent and to be a strong leader as well. Always stand your ground.
What is your favorite business book?
The Goal by Eli Goldratt.
What are you reading right now?
How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie.
Dale Carnegie. Oh, are you enjoying that?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
What is the one leadership trait that brings success?
Continuing to learn.
What is the one leadership trait that kills success?
Being complacent.
Name one daily behavior that will help a leader grow.
To listen.
How do you know an employee is valuable?
When they're asking the right questions.
What's your strangest daily habit?
Probably biting my nails.
Okay. What's the best way to show employees appreciation?
To give them recognition.
Well, I certainly want to recognize you for sharing with us today. I really appreciate it, Rahul.
I appreciate you having me.
Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to Gazelle's Growth Institute for underwriting this program. Learn more at growthinstitute.com. Join me next week when I'll be interviewing YPO member Crystal Lam. She's the managing director at Vinawood Limited. She'll share with us her journey of leaving the USA to run one of Vietnam's leading wood production companies. I'm Kevin Daum, and you're listening to the YPO 10-Minute Tips from the Top. To learn more about YPO, please visit www.ypo.org.